Well, it's a great privilege for me to open up God's Word. I'm excited. And at the same time, you know, I feel the weight of the responsibility to rightly divide the Word of Truth. So as we're going to be studying the book of Galatians for the next months ahead, Lord willing, Galatians is a dangerous book, just like all of the books of the Bible, right? It exposes our sin and exposes our legalism, our struggles. It's very easy to lose sight when we live from day to day and, you know, to live by our own strength instead of living by God's grace. And this book really shows us where we fail, how even after we are saved, we are prone to struggle with performance mentality, with, struggles that are, you know, we think that we could somehow please God, earn his favor by doing certain things. So this book is a great, great reminder of God's grace in everything that we do as a Christian, in our Christian life. So as we study this book, I hope we could grow and live more by God's grace and for his glory. So let us open up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we turn to your word this evening, Father, we pray that you would help us, show us wonderful things from your word. Father, we come to you as your children, those whom you have redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. Father, we thank you so much for the honor and privilege that is for us to open up your word. Every time we open it, you speak, O God. So speak to us tonight. Help us, Lord, to just see the gospel of grace that is revealed in these pages in the book of Galatians. Lord, I pray that you would help us by your grace to free us from sin, from the power of this world, that we might live by the power of the gospel in step with the Spirit, glorifying your name from day to day. Lord, we ask you to bless us tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we begin our study, we will first get a quick overview of this book as we get situated in the context. Then we'll dive in and hopefully work through the first five verses of the introduction of Galatians chapter 1. So let me read this section for you, and then we'll begin. Paul, an apostle not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, have you ever received a letter that you felt like, you know, you were reading it and you were like, yikes, the tone of this letter, you know, it's pretty intense. Or maybe you wrote a letter to someone else or an email, and it's important, it's critical for you to portray the message. You know that there's a certain tone that comes with a certain letter that is written. The way one opens up a letter will affect the way you read the rest of this letter. The introduction to a letter will either enhance or diminish the rest of the letter. Well, this evening, we will look at the letter of Galatians. And Paul's style here, if we just took this whole evening just to read this whole book or letter, we would see that the tone is very vigorous, very blunt. He's aggressive in some sense, direct and corrective. He's very urgent as well. He's going to use some strong words, but also, as Apostle Paul is very astonished and amazed after preaching the gospel to the churches of Galatia, which is a province like California. There's many cities that were in the province of Galatia, but Paul is writing to them, preaching the gospel. He's going to be very urgent, but very gracious. He's going to come to these people as a father. You know, he has a heart towards them. He's very gracious, very gospel-centered, even in this introduction, the way he starts this letter. He reminds the churches that I am for you. I'm not against you. I want you to understand these things are very important. They're very dear to my heart. You are dear to my heart. And so the tone of Paul's voice is going to be changing from section to section here on this letter. But as we begin, just to kind of get you situated, these churches in the province of Galatia, they were started by Apostle Paul and some of his apostles who were working beside him, his workers beside him. And then after about a period of 1 year, some Judaizers, Jewish teachers of the law, came into those churches and started preaching the false gospel. They would say, well, the gospel of grace is good, yes, but it's not enough for you to be saved. Or maybe to live a real spiritual life, you need works of the law. You need something more. You know, there's these steps that you need to do in order to actually gain God's good face, you know, God's good side. They would say and accuse Apostle Paul as not being one of the apostles. They would say that you must be circumcised, actually, if you want to be really saved. But Apostle Paul in this letter simply combats this nonsense and this heresy. He says it's a different gospel, which is not really a gospel at all. He says, let them be anathema. He even preaches a curse, puts a curse on all those who would preach anything else but the grace of God. So as we look at this introduction, here we see Paul writes to remind the churches in Galatia from where they have fallen. Paul wants to remind them about the most important thing, what they lost, what they are turning away from, and that is the gospel of grace. They are turning away from the apostolic gospel. Here in the book of Galatians, Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit, declares how anyone can freely, by grace, be made right with God, and how to live a Christian life by grace through the Spirit. So we see how the gospel of grace is not only necessary for salvation, but also for sanctification. And the purpose of this book overall, the book of Galatians, is not only to set forth justification by faith, by grace alone, in Christ alone, but also to show how we to continue in living in the grace of God by the power of the gospel. Galatians 2:20, I love this verse. If you could look there before we start, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here we see the heart of Paul, right? He's saying, I not only begin by the grace of God, but I live my whole life, I live by faith in Christ. See, this is what separates true Christianity from any other world religion. So to get an overview of this book, we must understand that Galatians is a book that was written specifically to counter legalism, to address centrality of the grace in the church. The first two chapters, Paul attempts to vindicate his apostleship and the message, which were under attack. The next two chapters, 3 and 4, he logically explains and defends the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And then the final two chapters, 5 and 6, contain instructions for practical Christian living. In other words, chapters 1 and 2, Paul simply defends the gospel of grace in light of his apostleship. Chapters 3 and 4, he explains the gospel of grace. He just starts to explain it. And then chapters 5 and 6, he applies the gospel of grace. So again, chapters 1 and 2, Paul what? He defends the gospel of grace. Chapters 3 and 4, he explains the gospel of grace. And chapters 5 and 6, he applies the gospel of grace. This letter, again, is saturated with the gospel of grace. And we're gonna learn more and more what does it truly mean, the gospel of grace. You know, people throw this word around all the time, grace, grace, grace. But what does it truly mean, God's grace? This letter is saturated with the gospel of grace, and it was given from Jesus Christ through the apostles. This letter has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty, as well as Christian Declaration of Independence. This letter was given to counter false teaching, you know, the works mindset. Martin Luther, you know, this is the year, actually we're celebrating 500 year of Reformation, right? And so Martin Luther, the reformer, he said about this letter opened his heart to the truth of justification by faith alone, to understand the gospel. This letter was, along with the book of Romans, was his favorite. He said, the book of Galatians, I am married to it. He said, I would speak of it as his wife. His wife's name was Catherine, and so he said, this is my Catherine. I am married to this book. That's how much he loved the book of Galatians because of his background, because of what he was going through all throughout his life. Now, as we begin, I want us to also kind of jump into this book with the mindset of, you know, how am I going to check my heart in light of this mirror of God's word? So before we read the text, let's remember again, you know, we're going to start with verse 1 and kind of jump in. This is God's word. God is speaking to us right now through this word. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. The proposition here is, from this passage, the Lord wants us to know that the true gospel is based on the word of God, which came from through the apostles, from God through the apostles. And then the true gospel declares salvation by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. So as we begin to study, let us first of all be reminded of God's authority to send the apostle Paul. So first, number one, we are reminded of God's authority. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Prior to Christ's ascension into heaven, Jesus said and commissioned to the apostles, saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. So authorized men were sent to proclaim an authorized message, the gospel. Here at the start, Paul declares his apostleship, that he was a genuine messenger. Now, the Galatian church had received the true gospel of grace from Paul previously, and they believed it. But then as time went and some false teachers came as he was gone, and they attacked the validity of the message, they also attacked the validity of the messenger as well. John MacArthur states that one way to deny the truthfulness of the message is to deny the authority of the one who gives it. Now, who was Paul? Right, Paul introduces himself here, and it's interesting that he does not simply state who he is, but whose he is. He starts this letter by the authority of God and of Christ Jesus. You know, the standard format in ancient letters was succinct. Name of the author, name of the recipient, and then greeting, and then you just write the letter. But Paul enlarges his introduction. He enlarges his name and whose Paul he is. He says, I'm Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? Through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, Paul's name simply means small or little. He was born in Tarsus into Roman citizenship, and later educated under the rabbi Gamaliel. Most Jewish families of the diaspora named their children with a Jewish and both Greek name. His Jewish name was Saul, and his Greek name was Paul. Now, after his conversion, when Saul was persecuting the church, when he was on the road to Damascus, Christ met him, and Christ actually stopped him on the road in his sin, and he transformed him. He actually changed his whole heart, his whole life. The gospel, the power of Christ actually transformed him, and he, as a result of his conversion, was fully devoted to Christ. Paul was not only fully devoted to Christ, he was also tutored by Christ Jesus himself. We'll learn this in Galatians 1. verses 15 and on. Paul states here that he's an apostle, that he's seen the resurrected Christ. He has been commissioned by Christ himself. Paul also denied that his apostleship originated with men. He says, it's not of men or from men, nor through men. No one actually sent me from men. I was sent by Christ himself. Paul's apostleship had a divine origin. And notice, it's both here, God the Father and Jesus Christ himself. And it's interesting that here he says, it's through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul never missed an opportunity to mention the resurrection, without which the gospel would be powerless. Paul shows us that the resurrection is important, and Christ, the risen one, has seen me. The risen one has met me. The risen one has transformed me and has commissioned me to go and to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. So here we find that Paul introduces himself as an apostle, and then right away he jumps in and says, and all the brothers who are with me, there's associates with him, all the brethren, all the brothers who are with me. This letter was not only from Paul, but also from all those brothers who were his companions, probably like Barnabas, who were served with him, and others from Antioch. Acts 13 and on talks about even this setting of where Paul was preaching the gospel with his companions. Now, throughout this chapter, Paul cites his association with different church key leaders, and he shows them that he received his apostleship from Christ. He received the message of the gospel from Christ. So Paul is writing this with all the brothers to the churches of Galatia. And he says here, to the churches of Galatia, which means the churches of southern Galatia, I believe, where in Central Asia Minor, you know, there's a northern, and some believe that Paul was writing to the northern part of province, but then there's also the southern province of Galatia. And so I believe that he was writing to those cities such as Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. This is where Paul ministered during his first and his second missionary journey. So the biblical view is that the apostles derive their authority from God through Christ. Paul says, I am an apostle. I've been given this authority from Christ. It was neither through human institution nor through any man. It was from Christ himself. And because it is divine, we as well must submit to it. By listening to Paul, we are listening to God himself. It is with that conviction that we approached this letter of Galatians. You know, sometimes you might hear people say, well, I just wish I could hear the voice of God, just God speaking to me. I just wish I could hear, you know, something from God, just, you know, what I should do. Or Paul would say, well, read the letter I wrote. This is the word of God. I have received this from God. This is the word of God. And the whole Bible was given to us by God himself. And so we have the word of God. We could turn to it. Let us never forget how amazing it is that we have the treasure of God's word. All scripture is inspired by God, so let us heed to God's voice. So now we turn from Paul's credentials as a writer to this epistle and his authority to his gospel. We now turn to his message. For Paul, it's not enough to just reestablish the authority of his apostleship. And by the way, he's gonna come back to this point over and over again in the first two chapters of this letter. But we also must understand the message of the gospel, the message that Paul brings. So second point here tonight, we are reminded of the gospel. Paul reminds Galatians and us of the glorious gospel of the grace of God. This is Paul's greeting here, and it's packed with the gospel. He says, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul says, grace to you. Here we see the heart of Paul towards the Galatian churches. He desires them to receive grace. He doesn't want them to perish in their sins. He doesn't want them to continue going that route of legalism and just thinking that by their own doings they could somehow please God. No, Paul reminds them of the grace and peace of God. Grace and peace summarizes Paul's gospel of salvation, right? We're saved by grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's the source of our salvation. One of the commentators have said, grace is God's unconditional good towards mankind, which is decisively expressed in the saving work of Christ. And then he says also, peace is the state of life, peace with God, and peace with one another, enjoyed by those who have effectively experienced the divine grace. So the grace of God must come first before you could have peace. When the person believes in Jesus Christ, he or she receives salvation, and then comes peace along with that. So grace leads to peace. And we are, brothers and sisters, we're in need of God's grace every single day. We're in need of God's peace every single day. Here we see Paul also adds that this grace and peace only comes from one source. And notice again, he mentions God the Father and God the Son here. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is only available from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached the gospel, and the gospel is about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He declared who Jesus is and what He has done. And so that's why after that, after Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he just bursts out the gospel. He just gives them the gospel. He says, who gave Himself for our sins? Paul, by preaching the gospel, declares Christ and what He has done. See, it's not about what we do or how we could do better, but it's about Jesus. A lot of people today, they think, you know, the gospel is all about me. They're thinking that the Bible is all about me. No, the Bible, the gospel, is all about God. And Paul shows us that the gospel is Christ-centered. Here we see that the nature of this gospel is the Christ atoning death and resurrection. Notice, who gave Himself for our sins. Paul said, Christ died for our sins. Instead of turning to the legalistic things, you know, the works, salvation, Paul says here that there's only one way to be saved, and it is to come to Christ, to receive what Christ has done for you. The heart of the gospel is Christ's willing sacrifice on the cross for us. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Christ died. Christ bore our sins. Christ died for our sins. It's amazing that He shows that the only thing that we bring to the table here is our sin. Do you see that? We don't bring anything that we could give to Him, any gifts, any payments. No. Christ died for our sins. He took away our sins. So the only thing that we bring is our ungodliness, right? Christ died for the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. Martin Luther comments that these words are very thunderclaps from heaven against all kinds of righteousness. That is, all forms of self-righteousness. Once we have seen that Christ gave Himself for our sins, we realize that we are sinners unable to save ourselves, and we give up trusting ourselves or that we are righteous. So here we find that this glorious truth of gospel, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, let that sink in, that it was for your sins. If you're trusting in Him, He died for my sins. And then next we see that Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Here we see the object of the gospel, to deliver from the present age, that He might deliver us of this present evil age. This is the purpose of the gospel, to deliver. And MacArthur explains this word age does not refer to a period of time, but passing this system, the worldly system that we live in, this age that we live in, that you know, the age that the Satan is ruling and controlling. God of this world, right? He is working the sons of disobedience. So as you look at this whole world, the way it's being run, everything that you see is dipped into sin. Everything is turning away from God and ungodliness and godliness. And Jesus Christ said that he died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, to deliver, to rescue us. Christ died to rescue us from this present age. Christianity is a rescue religion. He came to rescue us. Now, from what does he rescue us? By his death. It doesn't mean that he rescued us from this world now that we just, you know, we stay at home, we lock our windows and we just stay at home and try to not to go outside to meet with anyone because, you know, we're now rescued from this world, so we're not supposed to go out in the world. No, that's not what he's saying. God's purpose is not to take us out of this world, but that we should stay in it and be both the lights of the world and the salt of the earth. Christ died to rescue us out of this present age of wickedness, you know, that pertains to sin, the wicked one, the devil. This is what Christ has rescued us from. And dear brothers and sisters, have you been rescued from this evil age? Or are you still going in circles, you know, serving the Father, who's called the Father of lies, Satan himself? Have you been rescued by Christ from this present evil age? And I love this. Paul and then goes on and says, according to the will of our God, the source of the gospel, right? He shows here the source of the gospel, the will of God, according to the will of God and Father. The source of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ is the sovereign, loving, and gracious God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. John 1, 12-13. So salvation is not the will of men. It's the will of God, the sovereign one who controls all things. Christ died according to God's will. The gospel is the gospel of God. And this is why, in summary, you know, as he ends this little section, this little gospel presentation here. By the way, notice he mentioned the resurrection in verse 1 as well. But through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, the gospel, as Tim read at the beginning of this, at the beginning of the service, right? He read the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. And so therefore, Paul here also mentions both the resurrection and the death of Christ. But Paul at the very end here ends this first little section with doxology, right? He says, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. You know, Paul just wants to explode with this amazement that God has provided this amazing gospel through Jesus Christ. He has given so much for us, right? He has given his beloved Son to come into this world, to die on a cross for our sins, to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God. And so now, therefore, he explodes. You know, this is the heart of all those who are redeemed. This is why, right, we gather every Sunday. This is the reason why we worship. We sing to God. We want to give him praise and we want to give him glory for everything that he has done for us in Christ. So Paul concludes this introduction with just this doxology, and his heart is that we all would long for God to be glorified. See, if you consider the gospel as something that you must add to it, then you get a certain percentage, right? You are actually, you could take a certain percentage for the work that you have done in order to earn your way with God. But no, the gospel is given freely by grace through faith in Christ alone for the glory of God alone. All 100%, 1,000% of glory goes to God because it is His work on our behalf. So with this section here, I want to encourage us all that we would be reminded that this is the Word of God. This is the gospel of Christ that was given through the apostles, through the Apostle Paul specifically. And this gospel here, the message of the gospel, right, reminds us that we are in need to hear the gospel every single day. I wonder if Apostle Paul here finishes with amen. We don't have anything in Greek where it's, if it's a question mark, he says, amen, is this the gospel? Is this what you believe in? Or is he just saying exclamation mark, amen? That's, you know, because the heart of Paul is going to be broken the next couple of verses. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you, verse 6. So before we jump into that, I just want to close us right now as that we would be resolved to go back to the gospel all the time, the gospel of the grace of God. See, this letter is given not only for the legalists, but for those who seek to earn God's favor, but also for those who just mess up, who fail, and who think maybe, well, maybe I got to do more. Maybe I got to do this. Maybe, you know, there's something else. No, this letter teaches us that we as prodigals must run back to grace, must run back to the gospel. Galatians begins and ends by calling wayward believers back to grace. As we meet with Apostle Paul, who was used by the Holy Spirit to write this letter, I hope, I pray that we could walk away more passionate about the gospel of grace, and ultimately that we would see the beauty of Christ and love and treasure Him above everything else. And I hope that we forsake legalism in whatever manner it shows up in our lives, that we live by grace alone, and that we would glorify His name. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for Your Word. What a great and awesome reminder that we find in Your Word that the letters that Apostle Paul wrote, especially as we studied the letter of Galatians to the Galatians, Lord, this is the Word of God, and we must take heed to it. Thank You so much for Christ. Thank You so much for the gospel, the work that You are doing in all around us, Lord, and in us. We thank You so much that the grace of God that has transformed our lives continues to transform us into the image of Christ. Oh, help us, God, never to turn away from the grace of God. Help us to always live by grace. Help us to never forget, but to remember what Christ has done for us on the cross, how He has died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. And may we always live to glorify Your name. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.